You're just like sitting there like, I just see your lips like silently moving like you're crazy.
Looks like an insult that rhymes with cast.
Cast as in podcast?
Yeah.
You can say last.
This is the place where Mike's Wars is first and a guy's last. Anything goes.
Anything.
On the Exploding Barrel podcast. We did it. The Exploding Barrel podcast for August 11th, 2019. This is our first episode for August, right? Because I was gone last week.
Yeah.
So yeah, welcome back to our show. We're going to I will talk a bit about my trip in No Man's Sky, all things that AJ has not really done. So this is probably going to be like a bit, we usually have our theme shows now. This is going to be a bit more kind of all about the more. We're going to do a Warcraft thing because the Legion expansion. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, the expansion's not out.
The pre-patch is happening, yes.
Well, like, the second wave of the pre-patch, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I like the way they do this now.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that a bit, and then I'll talk about my trip in No Man's Sky. So let's talk about Warcraft first, because, I mean, you've been playing quite a bit of the newest patch stuff. I've just been kind of dabbling, but you've done, like, the quest. You haven't made a Demon Hunter because you can't.
No, because I'm waiting for the Collector's Edition,
I can't. I just, like, don't know where to make it right now. I always have this, like, weird server anxiety.
Which almost doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but...
Unless you really want to be in a guild.
Mm-hmm. That's my thing. Like, I was in a guild for the last expansion, but I don't really want to raid.
Well, I told you, the server my buddy's on, he's in a guild. It's just, like, it's just a fans of a podcast. And so, like, it's good to be in a guild because you do get, like,
sure,
some kind of
perk. Well, there's stuff. There's certain things you only get from the vendors. For example, like, I'm getting heirloom items for the first time, which I don't know why I haven't done earlier. And, like, half of them you have to buy from a guild vendor. And those are just items that, like, increase the amount of experience you get on new characters. You can equip them on new characters, like, from your, like, collections tab. So it's, like, very easy and convenient. And it's scaling gear, so you don't have to, like, worry about that. So it's like, oh, you already leveled up once, and just, you know, whatever.
Buy some of this stuff and do it again.
Yeah. So that's basically all I've done. So tell me about your experiences then.
Okay, so I've been playing primarily with my shaman, who is an enhancement spec, which is like, so when the pre-patch happened, they completely redid like every spec basically.
Mm-hmm.
They really more than ever feel almost like subclasses.
Yeah, which I like
a lot. Like, I mean, an enhancement shaman and an elemental shaman are completely
different. There aren't nearly as many shared abilities, it seems, right?
But the other nice thing is, so in the past, enhancement shamans use agility, elementals use intellect. Well, now they just all use agility.
Hmm.
What this means is you can switch between
without
your
having
classes.
To switch gear.
I mean, there might be some min-maxing involved with, like, you know,
sure.
You prefer haste with an enhancement, but you really want mastery with elemental, whatever it is. But yeah, generally, yeah, it lets you switch around more freely, which there's no more dual specking. You can change your spec whenever you want. You can change your talents whenever you want if you're in a rested area. There's still an inscription item that'll let you change your talents anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I believe when you queue up for dungeons and raids, it lets you change your talents before you go in.
That's nice. Yeah.
So that's all really cool. So I'm loving the way my enhancement shaman plays now. It's really fun. So that was, a couple weeks ago they launched all that. So this week is kind of like the events leading up to Legion. So first you get to do this, like, scenario that takes place on the Broken Isle. So if you've seen the cinematic...
It's kind of that thing happening.
It's the continuation of that. You're on, like, the ship that was right behind the one that Varian and Sylvanas were on that crashed.
Okay.
So you arrive to the Isle, and it's cool, because it's, like, all the faction leaders for every side is involved in this.
That's
so
nice.
I'm playing through it as Horde, so it's, like, a big group of Horde players led by Thrall, Vol'jin, Sylvanas, Bane... Like, just attacking a bunch of demons. So, I won't spoil what happens in it. There's a lot of lore in the beginning.
That's cool.
So, stuff happens, you get back to Orgrimmar, more things happen. And they have, like, a quest that kind of introduces you to the concept of demon hunters being in the world now. So you do a few little things for that.
See, this is like one reason why I want to switch back to Alliance. So my Death Knight was always Alliance, and I leveled through Draenor with Alliance. So all my lore was really still Alliance in it. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to join this Horde Guild, so I switched for that. Now the idea of, like, doing the story content as Horde, it just seems really, like, because you're saying, I thought about his lore. Well, I want to see, like, all the Alliance people that I know doing that stuff. So, but go continue.
So the big thing going on right now is these Legion invasions that happen. They're, like, it's kind of an old idea in MMOs that I've been doing for a while, like Guild Wars, and even Warhammer Online, where it's a world quest.
Right.
So basically, every so often, a zone will come under attack. It's primarily focused on a particular part of that zone, like if you're in Ashera. How do you say it?
Ashera.
Yeah,
that's one.
What's the one that's just north of Orgrimmar?
Ashera.
Is it okay? So yeah, I think primarily takes place at the rear gate of Orgrimmar, but like. They have four phases. First, it's like, defend this spot, so you just gotta kill a bunch of demons. Then, two lieutenants and a... whatever's higher than a lieutenant will show up, so you take them out.
Is this kind of like those... the when you were defending your garrisons in Draenor?
A little bit. Much bigger, because it's like, you know, just whoever's in the area. Then, phase three, it's you have to spread out across the zone and just, like, defeat demons, and they have, like, these little... demon buildings that pop up. You have to, like, destroy a crystal and they crumble down. Then you go back to the area and fight the big boss. It's not mechanically complex. It's just kind of, everyone attack this thing.
Is it scale? Is it only for top level people, or...?
No, they describe it as for just about anybody. I don't know how the rewards work if you're less than max level. And then, like, some of the encounters, like the final boss, is just everyone beat it up. The other one, we were in Gadgetzan, and this thing just kept killing me, and I didn't know what was even happening to kill me. I just kept dying.
Yeah.
Which was weird. I'm sure there was some mechanic I just wasn't picking up on that should have been avoiding. But the
were great... you standing on fire?
No, there was fire, and I was avoiding the fire.
That's number one.
Yeah, that is rule number one. And I have that GTFO mod that usually beeps at you when you're standing on fire with a very loud buzzer.
I have that.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's a good mod.
Yeah, I needed that one.
But so when it's all said and done, you get a bunch of drops that are, for me right now, it's all item level 700 gear.
That's pretty
good. I replaced all my gear, except I haven't gotten a better helmet yet, but my helmet's 695.
You replace it now until you do, like, your first few quests.
And you get a green.
Yeah.
Well, then the other thing you can get to is there's either items that drop, or you're also getting a currency that you can spend with a vendor that will incrementally increase the eye level of all this gear until you hit max out at 725 per piece.
Okay.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, I wonder what, like, the min level for, like, the raid will be.
But then here's the other best part. I mean, this is all purple tier drops, right? Even the ones, like, I've gotten a couple duplicates, they sell for 30 to 50 gold.
That's not
bad. I'm making a shit ton of gold right now, which is awesome. Yeah, like I said, it's not, like, mechanically complicated. It's just really... It's always fun to be in that thing. There's, like, 50 people attacking a giant demon.
They did something like this with Lich King. I never really experienced it. Or, like, there were, like, invasions on, like, the capital cities, but I don't really know exactly how those went down.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of neat when they do these sort of, like, pre-events. Like, what Cataclysm had, like, things were just shaking every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. Like, something was about to happen. Right. What could it be? Yeah. Too bad you saw that cinematic three months ago.
Yeah, maybe with Pandaria, I don't know, pandas were really... I don't know what they would do.
I don't know what they do.
I don't think they did anything. So that's fun, yeah. But it'll be... Yeah, it's funny because I got so much I can do that expansion. My problem is, when I have free time, I still like to play Overwatch a lot. And now that Summer Games thing is going on,
mm-hmm.
so I feel a lot of pressure to get as many loot boxes as I can. And if I don't get, like, the tracer skin I want at the end, I'm just going to buy a few loot boxes. We'll see. And I probably still won't get it.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, that's fun. All right.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's weird. Like, I played probably more Draenor than I did any other expansion. And everyone says that's the bad one. So maybe that speaks to what kind of player I am.
I think there's some people just, like, reacting to, like, you know, the last expansion. I think generally it was one of the better ones.
I thought it was fantastic.
I think even people say it's bad. I think they liked it more than Cataclysm and maybe Cataclysm, but they definitely liked it more than probably Pandaria.
Yeah.
I mean, people always say, like, the best expansions were the first two. Just like a lot of people think Vanilla WoW was the best, but you know how it is when you go further back.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm super pumped for the expansion proper to come out. I really love how they're doing the scalable zones, so you could just go. You can go to the zones in any order you want.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Which is very rad.
Which just makes sense because they've always kind of had their own self-contained stories, anyways.
Yeah,
like there's always like a larger piece of it, but it's like, what, you know, why not? Why the hell not?
Yeah.
So, all right, you want to hear my trip?
Yes.
So yeah, I was in LA. First, we had our Gatsby conference, which was fun. You could check out some of the stuff. You can see my interview on the VentureBeat YouTube channel. That I had with a Blizzard executive. We were talking about a lot of things. My life shares a lot of Blizzard stuff right now. It's funny.
You have kind of become the Blizzard guy for games.
Which is interesting because I hate real-time strategy games. And for so long, that's what that company was for me.
Uh-huh.
So back when it was like StarCraft, Warcraft, I liked, you know, Blizzard, but it wasn't really my thing. But then all of a sudden, they had the MMO, and you know, I like that fine. But then they make, you know, a card game and a team-based shooter, and all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah.
I'm the Blizzard guy.
Yeah, right?
Well, and you also, did anyone else who works at Gamebeat ever actually raid like you did in Wrath of the Lich King?
Not like the main staff people. We have,
You have a couple freelancers that I know are pretty gung-ho. Right.
So, but yeah. So, but that was fun. I got to meet, it's got to meet a lot of cool people. I got to meet Peter Moore, actually. Talked to him about the Dreamcast a bit. Met Tom Kalinske. That was really cool. I told him I was a big Sonic fan. He's like, oh, did you watch the cartoon shows? I was like, I watched both of them, sir. He like looked at me like he didn't believe me. So then I sang the theme song. And I was like, too fast for the naked eye.
I just picture you in your suit with a t-shirt on. Serenading Tom Kalinske in a hallway somewhere.
It was a good time. But yeah, that was really fun. But then I had a couple events. The first one was the Titanfall 2 event, which the embargo for the single player stuff we saw just went up. It's going up in a couple hours, so don't post this right away.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes up at... Actually, I think it did just go up like 10 minutes ago.
So cool. Hey, but, Titanfall 2, so tell us. So you didn't play the single
player. Right, they showed us like 30 minutes or so about of the campaign kind of skipping around. And it looked really neat. It doesn't just look kind of like a Call of Duty thing where it's like a corridor shooter. It's definitely still kind of linear. I talked to the guy who was in charge of it. You know, they were kind of more inspired by Valve games than anything else.
That's good.
You kind of
get that.
Right, or it's linear, but the pace is kind of slower, you know. It's a bit more puzzles. And because, you know, you have that wall running, there's like kind of the platforming stuff. And that's really neat. The surprising parts was just kind of like the tone. So, like, you know, you have, like, your own Titan, and there's, like, a relationship between the two. Like, there's kind of, like, that was neat. There's, like, funny moments. Like, there's this whole sequence where, like, he's gonna, like, there's, like, a ship somewhere, right? He's like, I'm gonna have to throw you. It's almost like Lord of the Rings. He's like, what? He's like, don't worry. There's only, like, a 33% chance that I'll miss. Like, oh, only a 33% chance. What happens to that? Then you will fall, and your bones will break, and you will die. Like, stuff like that. Right? And he's like, funny. But then, like, as he grabs you, it's, like, a close-up on him, and then he's in that Optimus Prime voice. He's like, trust me. And I'm like, ooh. And he's like, yeah. That's cool.
Is it Peter Cullen doing that voice?
I'm still not... I think most people are sure. I don't know if people are just, like, saying they're sure, but it
sure sounds like Optimus Prime.
Right, which, yeah.
Isn't that a little on the nose?
It works. But like, even, like, have, like, when you're walking around, he'll, like, talk to you, and you can, like, push up or down the D-pad if you want to, like, talk back. And
that's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's like...
I like that. That's something... When everyone was bitching about single player not being in the first game, and people were like, well, what would it even be? I never would have thought to go in this direction where... It's like you're forming this relationship with a Titan.
Right.
Like, and that's really... Because in the multiplayer, the Titans are kind of disposable in a weird way, you know?
And it's like, a lot of what they showed me was more pilot-focused. And then kind of the end, they showed a part where you were in the Titan fighting. And, like, another bad guy came out of the Titan. And, like, he comes out of his Titan and, like, talks to you. And it's almost like Shadows of Mordor, you know? Where it seems like everything else freezes while this guy, like, taunts you for a second.
That's cool.
Or, like, Borderlands even. But, yeah, so that was neat. But, yeah, I thought it looked pretty cool. I'm kind of excited for this the single-player mode.
You probably don't know the answer to this. Are they still using the Source Engine, or is it something new?
Oh, I got no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. But, hey, like I said, they like Valve stuff, so...
Right, that's what made me think to ask that.
Yeah, so then I went to... the Karazhan event, which I didn't know too much about. Turns out it was basically just a massive party.
Yeah, I'm pretty jealous of this one.
Yeah.
You were working real hard that night.
Yeah, they went really over the top. So what it was like, it was just like in some building in downtown LA, like went in through the back in some alley. It was strange. And like we go in this like elevator, this large elevator, and the elevator's themed. Like, a guy is dressed up as Morose, you know, like the butler of Karazhan. He's like, oh, Medivh's missing, and magical things are happening, and things are getting funky. You're like, uh-oh. So, like, you get up there, they have, like, a little station where you can dress up in disco stuff. So I put on my wig and my disco chain and, you know, the free drinks and stuff like that. And, like, the whole thing was, and they gave you a map, and the whole thing was just, like, based, if you ever played the raid of Karazhan, it was very interesting, because it was just kind of like, here's the ballroom and this thing, and like, it's like the main section was like basically like where you could sit down. They had the drinks and the food being passed around. Then they had like the disco dance floor, and that's also where they did the stream from, where they revealed the rest of the cards, including Parify.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, but so then that was kind of that's where you could dance, and then they had like a tavern section, and that's where you can go. You can play games with the new cards and stuff. And there's some I was liking a lot of the cards a lot. My coolest thing I had happen while playing was, there's that Barnes character who summons a random 1/1 version of a card in your deck. Mm-hmm. So I played him, and I got Medivh, who is a 7/7 card who also gives you a weapon. But since I summoned him, I didn't get the weapon. So now he's just a 1/1 drop. I was like, oh, this isn't that good. Yeah. What the heck? But since I only had played, like, those two minions at this point, and I had Resurrect, so I cast that. I'm like, there's a chance I might just get Medivh, and I did. And then I got the weapon.
You got like a 3-turn Medivh.
I got 4-turn. I got a 4-turn 7/7 with like the spells in it. That way, I just won. That was fun.
So I could see Barnes being really strong in a Death Rattle deck.
Death Rattles, because
you don't get the Battle Cry benefit from a summon, but right. You'll get the Death Rattle.
I think Death Rattles and cards with effect. I think, like, imagine getting a Malagos on turn 5.
Refresh me, what's Malagos?
Malagos is like the one that gives you plus 15 or whatever spell damage.
Oh yeah.
And if you just have some spells in your hand. If you're a mage, yeah. You have a fireball, and you get
21 damage.
Yeah,
done. So,
yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, can be really strong in like combo decks and things. So then there was like another room where there was like the live chess event where it was just like a giant game of chess, and like the king and queen characters were actual people like dressed up for it, and they had like the Blizzard developers playing each other in it. The other room was like the theater, and they had this couple doing like Romulo and Julianne, this like comedy version of Romeo and Juliet, this like a little like play. Man, it was very involved. And involved, I mean, and it was very fun.
So you were basically LARPing characters.
Yeah, right? It was out there.
Because I saw, like, the video. There's, like, an ogre. There were Draenei.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Night elves.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people in character and costume. Yeah. It was fun times.
That's awesome.
Yes, yes. So, but yeah, that was my trip. Then I've been playing No Man's Sky a little bit.
Yeah, so... Well... So, I haven't played it yet, because I was planning on getting the PC version with some Best Buy gift cards. But the gift cards got screwed up, and I need to wait 3 to 5 days for them to be reissued, so I'm not going to be getting it on launch, if at all.
Yeah.
You're cool on it, huh?
Well, keep in mind, I've always been kind of cool on this, huh? Yeah. I always kind of thought that this was, you know, not...
Mr. No-Hype Minotti over here.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's... I mean, what it's more like than anything is Minecraft, without the building stuff. It's, you know, it's mostly a resource game, an inventory management. Like, that's the gist of it, is... You know, you need to keep building stuff so you can, like, go to a different galaxy. Like, first it's, like...
Build more stuff,
yeah. So you need resources. And then, even, like, your suit is constantly, like, you know, like, the life support's constantly going down, your fuel's constantly going down, your weapon energy's constantly going down, so you keep at the feeding resources into that. So, you know, that's basically the gist of it, is mining things and stuff. I mean, the discovery aspect's kind of neat. You know, the animals run around.
You do not seem impressed with the visuals on the PS4.
No, it doesn't look good on PlayStation 4 at all. It's kind of grainy, and the pop-in is awful.
The grainy, I believe, is intentional.
Well, the pop-in is very bad. Especially when you're flying, like, just asteroids appear, like, in front of you. You're like, neat.
That's a problem.
Well, it's not like they're big, and, like, you hit them. It's just, I don't know. Just kind of, but, like, even, like, the foliage and stuff when you're on the ground. But, you know... I mean, a lot of the problems are the ones I kind of expected, where, like, all right, you're walking around this planet, it's procedurally generated, cool, and, you know, it looks all right. And you do that a couple times, and, yeah, fine. But, yeah, it's weird, because it's a very, like, dead galaxy, right? But there's, like, there are people there, like, these aliens, but they're almost more like MMO, like...
Quest giver
kind of thing. Yeah, because they don't give you quests. They just kind of stand there. But yeah, a large part of the game, from what I see, is collecting resources and things so you can improve your inventory and stuff. So, like, you know, like, your basic suit only has a few inventory slots. And same thing with, like, your ship. So you want to upgrade those by selling things and stuff. So I don't know. It's definitely not my thing. I can't even say if for the thing it is, if it's good, because it's just like not even my thing anyways.
So my problem right now is that could be a very fun experience, I think. But as I just said, I have an MMO expansion coming out in 2 weeks, oof.
That's kind of the thing. Like, I know they said that this was never going to be an MMO, but I feel like the one thing that could have made this interesting was a bit more social element
to it. Well, did you hear what happened?
So yeah.
In the first day, two guys actually figured out they were on the same planet, went to the same spot, but couldn't see each other.
Yeah.
Which Sean Murray kind of explained as just the servers were too overloaded, so they didn't see each other because reasons. Because he specifically said in the past, like, yeah, it's astronomically improbable, but if you did, yeah, you'd see each other. In fact, in one interview, when someone asked, like, how do I know what I look like, they're like, you don't. The only way you'd know is if you saw someone else and they saw you. So it was cool that it did happen, like, on day one, two people managed to find each other. It's just like, a letdown that it kind of didn't
work. I mean, I guess I get the idea, but I also feel like one thing that would make this more fun is if I could do it with a friend.
Yeah, it does seem like... It's a very solitary experience.
And I get it, because, like, the whole point of it is, like, you start somewhere, and then you're supposed to, like, make your way to the center of the universe. And, like, a whole part of that is, like, constantly having to upgrade your ship and, like, craft more warp nacelles or whatever they're called so you can get there. Mm-hmm. So if you, like, you just go to where your friend is, I guess that's cheating, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, there's no, like, friends list or anything. And, like, you go to, like, these space stations, but there's nothing in there except, like, one NPC that you could sell things to, really. It's, like, cool, like, it's a cool moment, like, you fly into the space station. It's weird, because, like, other ships will come in and land, but nobody comes out of them. You just go and talk to them, and you could, like, offer to buy their ship and stuff. That's basically how you buy ships and weird. Things like that. So, like, it's like I said, I don't know. I mean, like, some people will like it. I'm not gonna like, parade around and say I was right, but this isn't the second coming of anything. You know, I mean,
Does the scope of it impress you at all? Like, you hit that map button, you're like, wow, that's pretty cool.
No. Because I understand what procedurally generated content. You can make 100 of something with procedurally generated content. You can make an infinite amount of something. Right? I mean, why is everybody, like, I see this
video. Mike Minotti, like, 1 trillion planets, not impressed.
So, yeah. You just pushed up on the button to say how many planets to make. Okay.
Nice. I think it was a little more involved than that, possibly.
Sure. Yeah. You know what? Whatever. It's fine. I'm not, like, mad about No Man's Sky. Like, some people, like, everyone's getting, you know, all kind of neurotic about it, whatever. But, yeah, not my thing.
That's fair.
What else do you want to talk about? How much time do we have left? We got some time. You want to talk about this Purify thing?
Yeah, let's do that. So since Wrath of the Old Gods, or is that what it's called? Whispers of the Old Gods.
I think you're combining, expansion names here somehow.
It's been pretty well accepted and understood that the priest class is the weakest by far in Hearthstone.
Yeah, it's been struggling in Arena real bad. It's also been struggling really bad in Standard, which are, like, two modes. Nobody plays Wild, so...
Yeah. So, everyone was really hopeful with, you know, new cards coming out and one out of Karazhan that they'd get a nice bump. That didn't happen. They got two cards that aren't, like, awful.
Yeah, the one seems decent.
And then the other card that they got is this card called Purify. It is a 2-mana spell. It silences one of your own minions, and then you draw a card.
Yeah. So, silences... Very typically, you don't want to silence your own minions. Typically, when a card has an effect, it's positive.
Yeah, so there are a handful of kind of what I call either neutral effects that a card can have or negative. So, like, you know, like there's a card called the Ancient Watcher.
Yeah, that's like the standard.
This is always the one that Blizzard wants to be like, but this is what you use with your silence card. It's like, what's an Ancient Watcher cost? It's 3?
No, it costs... Yeah, wait, yeah, it costs... is it 3 mana?
I think it is.
It's 2 mana. It's only 2 mana.
Okay, 2 mana for 4/5.
That's it.
But it can't attack. Like, that's the text. So if you silence it, you take away the can't attack.
Now, the idea... Now, they're like, you can use Purify on this. Well, if you use that, then that's a 4-mana 4/5. And there's already a card that's a 4-mana 4/5. The chill...
But you're getting a card draw.
Who cares? I mean, the card draw is fine, but in this case, you're literally trading a card for a card. There's so many other better card draw options. So yeah, it's an awful, awful card. Especially because Priest already has a card called Silence that costs 0 mana that silences an enemy or an ally.
And I feel like that's maybe not a fix, but this card would be as awful if it was just a silence anything and draw cards.
I feel like that, making it a little less mana, I don't know. But either way, they probably should have just not done this card.
Yeah, they really should have said, eh, we could come up with something better.
Especially when everybody was had a microscope under what they were going to do for Priest.
Right.
And they had to have known that. And it's like all the other classes, these are pretty good cards.
Yeah, and even Mage, again, makes out like a bandit.
Hunter has some good stuff. And, you know, once again, it's like you look at the Priest cards, you're like, no, it's like we're okay. And then this one is like the worst card ever. So it was a pretty big to-do. A lot of the Hearthstone kind of personalities and community was really up in arms about it. And Blizzard actually did. It was just kind of rare to make a response and do something about a card before it's even released.
Yeah.
So Ben Brown released his video. He's kind of apologized, explained why they made the card. And you kind of get some of it, but at the same time, it's like, you should not have made this card.
Yeah, it's like, I understand your reasoning. It just was bad reasoning. Like, you should have known better.
Because they're saying, you know, not all cards are meant to be really good, and that's fine, but what, you know, and like sometimes it's fun to play with bad, though, to win with bad cards.
Yeah, but again, like,
why Priest now?
Experiment with one of the classes who are set. Like, right. The class who needs help is not your playground for, let's see what this one do.
Yeah, and, you know, they say, oh, we feel like Priest is already getting a lot of help with the neutral options. You know, maybe that's true. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's just such a, because all the classes are getting neutral cards.
Well, sometimes neutral cards work better for certain classes than others.
Well,
like,
sure,
some people even forget that Grim Patron isn't a warrior card.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll see. But what's interesting is, I mean, there's no fix for Constructed, but at least in Arena. Because in Arena, when you draft cards in Arena, you get, like, you pick one out of three. The rare, like, how often a card comes up is affected by the newest, like, expansion.
The newness of it,
the
yeah.
new set. So, Charizard cards will appear more than any other cards. Class cards appear more than other cards. And then rarity, so common cards.
Yeah.
And this is a Karazhan common Priest card. So it would show up a lot. So they say...
Yeah, because that's the thing too. Like, if you're going to argue, oh, well, there's some synergy. Okay, that's fine. But you can't account for that in Arena.
No.
Like, well, especially if it's like one of your first cards. You're like, well, now I got to find something to silence,
not.
I guess.
Yeah, no. So they're just going to take the card out of Arena.
Which is pretty bold.
It's pretty bold, but it's like the only fix they can do.
Yeah.
But here's what I want. Going forward, if you think a card is so bad that you shouldn't put it in Arena, don't make that card.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of a sucky situation.
Yeah,
but
I would have rather they overhaul, if they were going to do something before launch.
Well, it's kind of like overhauling the whole card, I think, is a bit more involved than we maybe even think. Because who even knows how, like, it works with, like, one of their adventure, like,
scenarios
and all the other things. They do so much testing and all this stuff. They change it right now. They basically, because like when they change a card, they have to play it a lot to make sure it doesn't break some other card, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of get that. I think the ship sailed on that a while ago, but I just don't think the ship sort of left port.
Yeah, again, it's just a baffling decision.
Okay. So, and I think it's good because I think they had their heads in the sand a little bit about some of the situations, like the stuff with Arena and what people were expecting out of Priest, and I think now they're a bit more aware of it, and I think going forward you won't have something quite this ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is strange. There were some dank memes though, man. Some good memes. Did you see the one that the person did where they like they did a whole Yu-Gi-Oh parody with it was like Kaparian versus Ben Brode's grandson?
I did not see this.
Oh, it was funny.
Jeez.
It was like, yeah, it was like Crip's Revenge. Crip was like the new lead, designer on it. He's like, ha ha ha, your grandfather is foolish. I'll show you. He plays like Tunnel Trog. He's like, in the Yu-Gi-Oh kids bed broken. It's like, oh, whoa, no, Tunnel Trog. He's just like doing his like perfect curve. And all he has is like certain, like mass silence. And then he like plays Purify. And then but he's got like four, like those, you know, 4 mana 7/7s on the board. He's like, ha ha ha. Then Ben Brode grins and plays a card that says, if you've played 4 silences, you win. Because that was the thing. Because like, even before this happened, like everybody was like, Priest is so bad. And Ben Brode made a comment like, oh, there's like a Priest deck out there that people haven't made yet. Like, and they'll discover like this Unicorn Priest, and it'll be really.
Oh yeah, he's been talking about it for a while.
So a Unicorn Priest has become this really big meme.
Yeah, no, I've heard of that, and it's like at this point, it's like share with the class, man. Come on.
I think the card even had a unicorn on it that dispels thing. Right, and people were laughing because you know how we're in the year of the Kraken right now.
Mm-hmm.
On I guess on like the Warcraft Zodiac, the next one would be the year of the Unicorn. So look out, man. Parisa's time to shine.
Did you say that there's a Warcraft Zodiac?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, this franchise. I love it.
All right, so yeah. Purify's garbage, and they know it. All right, so thank you for listening to the Explain Barrel podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Same thing with Google Play. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Bye-bye.